I am so uncomfortable having this conversation, said Fox News host Melissa Francis during a live broadcast of the network's panel program Outnumbered on August 16, 2017. The previous day, U.S. President Donald Trump held a press conference denouncing the Charlottesville riots that ended in tragedy when a white supremacist drove his car through a group of people protesting a far-right rally, killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer. Trump had audaciously claimed both sides were to blame for the violence and that there were very fine people on both sides. This sparked countless debates across the country, much like the one Francis was engaged in with her co-panelists, Harris Faulkner, Juan Williams, and Marie Harf. Defending Trump, Francis claimed he was being misrepresented and had never tried to apportion equal blame. When her co-host attempted to correct her, she became visibly emotional. I know what is in my heart, and I know that I don't think anyone is different, better or worse, based on the color of their skin. Her voice cracked. But I feel like there is nothing any of us can say right now without being judged. No sooner had the word judged left her lips than the tears started. The panel fell into an awkward silence for a moment, and it was left to co-host Faulkner, a black woman, to calmly step in and, without a trace of emotion in her voice or on her face, to respond. You know, Melissa, there have been a lot of tears on our network and across the country and around the world. Faulkner began quietly but firmly while the other woman closed her eyes and shook her head as if in pain. It's a difficult place where we are, but it's not where we've been, it's where we are. And we can have this conversation. Oh, yes, we can. What should be remarkable about this clip is that it is the black woman who remains stoic and almost expressionless, while the white woman is freely emotional and teary. Keep in mind, this is all in the midst of a conversation about race taking place in the same week that white supremacists had staged rallies waving Nazi and Confederate flags and shouting slogans such as "Blood and Soil" and "Jews Will Not Replace Us." I say it should be remarkable because, sadly, it is all too unremarkable. It has been so common for so long for people of color to tiptoe around the feelings of white people that until relatively recently it was barely ever commented on in the mainstream. Indeed, after Faulkner's comments, two of the other hosts, including Williams, who is a black man, quickly tried to soothe Francis, repeating how much they hated to see her cry. How is it that we have been so conditioned to prioritize the emotional comfort of white people? Why does the sight of a white woman crying provoke such placatory responses, even in a context such as this, where people of color have every right to be scared, upset, and even angry? It was not until the following year that I finally began to understand just how crucial it is that we answer these questions. Fast forward to August 2018, and I almost missed the message in my Twitter inbox from a journalist in the United States asking to speak to me about an article I'd published in Guardian Australia 3 months earlier. That piece had proved to be very popular and very polarizing, and had resulted in far more global attention than I was used to or felt comfortable with. And, still reeling from it all, I assumed she was messaging me to ask if she could interview me for a story. I cautiously agreed to supply my email, but was unprepared for what came next. Lisa Benson, an Emmy-winning African-American television journalist in Kansas City, was writing to me not to request an interview, but to let me know that shortly after my piece was published in May, she had shared it to her private Facebook page, where two white female colleagues, Krista Dubille and Jessica McMaster, had seen it. The next day, Dubille and McMaster complained to management, and Lisa was suspended immediately for creating a hostile working environment based on race and gender. Shortly thereafter, she was terminated from her contract. A little backstory. Lisa had already sued her television station employer for racial discrimination, alleging her race was used to determine which stories she was assigned. This included being sent on her own to interview a Ku Klux Klan member in his home, a situation that was both uncomfortable and possibly unsafe. A separate lawsuit was brought by another colleague of hers, a male African-American sports anchor, who claimed he was routinely passed over for promotions in favor of less qualified white men. Lisa was still working for the organization while awaiting her court date, and she told me she had shared the article in the hope that her colleagues would understand and empathize with her situation. Instead, it appears they used it as a handy justification for getting rid of a problem employee who'd inadvertently broke one of white Western society's unspoken but most binding rules, don't challenge or even acknowledge implicit racial bias. If you do, be prepared to suffer the consequences. The article that apparently cost Lisa her contract and brought us into each other's orbit was titled, How White Women Use Strategic Tears to Silence Women of Color. It was one of hundreds I've written over the past decade or so while I've been working in the media. This one, however, was a particularly painful and personal column to write, drawing on an emotional and psychological journey during which I had slowly, perhaps too slowly, and devastatingly come to realize that the way society saw me, the way people interpreted and responded to my behavior and my words, had very little to do with me as a person, my motivations, or the situation at hand, but everything to do with their ingrained perceptions of me based on my ethnicity. I highlighted what I had by then come to realize was a pattern so predictable, it worked like a blueprint, predetermining how interpersonal conflict between women of color and white women plays out.